is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bingham people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Brown. Our producer in the studio is Kermit, One Family, two-time champ, Mode Hard. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC. And again, I'm Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside the Inner Mayors every 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And it's a pleasure to each and every one of you who I meet each and every day, who just gives me a thumbs up. I want to say I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. And I'm glad that you like the way how I carry myself on the airwaves and explaining things and being professional and can have a conversation with anyone without getting upset, and the caller also not getting upset, but we have a good conversation. That's all about. And that's how you change the society and change the mindset. But anyway, this week on Inside the Inner City, we're going to talk about the hospital, you know, and how the former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Hubert Alexander Minnis, and our current Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Brave Davis, they're going back and forth. And I like this kind of stuff in the newspaper because I'm really good at it. And, you know, the Tribune has it. I love these newspapers. You know, that's why it's good to read. I'd encourage people, you know, to read a lot, and you learn a lot. And then you can find out exactly the truth and lies, what goes on in the country. Because if you read, you'd have knowledge and you'd always remember things. That's how I could remember things in the past, a long time ago, because I read and it's be programming my brains if it's an important matter. So it says here in the Tribune, Davis, it's your fault, Dr. Minnis. And then the Nassau Guardian, the Asia, Minnis, Davis, spa overstate of Princess Margaret Hospital. Prime Minister says Princess Margaret Hospital neglect in recent years is indispensable. And, you know, and former Prime Minister, Minnis says, state of PMH due to PLP's inadequacies, I guess. And that's the word. But before we get into that, because, you know, boy, I can dissect that. I'm going to dissect that. And we're going to find out who is wrong, whether the PLP is wrong, whether the FNM is wrong. We are going to find this out, and this is going to be something very interesting because this is my type of stuff. But anyway, I just want to piggyback some of the incident that has recently happened when it relates to crime. And I wanted to show you how the mindset of many individuals in our country is thinking. And I think it's in the hundreds, because if you look in the newspaper, you'd see where persons getting ambushed and losing their lives. You know, we had a defense force officer. He was ambushed home. He had Brookshot. He was the 7th murder this year. He was ambushed on his way to work. We just had a report of attempted kidnapping of a young child, I think a female, by 2 persons in a vehicle. And that's one of the reasons I always push for community development, because we each have to be our brother's keeper. And as the community gets stronger, we would watch out for the kids, we would watch out for one another. You know, that's why we got to work together and clean up our communities and get rid of persons who are attempting and causing harm to law-abiding citizens, you know, like rape and armed robbery. So it's important that we develop these communities so that we can defend ourselves and police ourselves. Because honestly speaking, the police come afterwards, and we could see the effects of that today. And what I'm referring to is just recently, I think it's on Joe Farrington Road. I was reading the newspapers and on Facebook, and there was these police on patrol. You know, this is a new program that the Commissioner of Police, Saturation Patrol, to get officers walking again, get officers riding around in hot-spotted areas and to make themselves vigilant, which is, I think is really, really great. They're also tackling anklet bracelet. So I want to say to young men out there, you know, if you're in the life of crime and you have this anklet bracelet on and you're thinking about doing crime with those anklet bracelets on, let me tell you, the police are tracking you. 2 or more persons who have anklet bracelet, if you're in a nightclub or driving in the car together, you're charged with serious offenses and you're wearing anklet bracelet, the police are monitoring you and they will come to pay you a visit because they don't know if you're traveling a firearm. They don't know what your intentions are. And then you're supposed to be with curfew on some restriction from your court issue. You know, they give you certain restrictions, and they're on that now. They're finding out that persons with anklet bracelet wants to be killed or wants to be involved in serious offenses. And a point of example that I'm going to point on is just recently, like I said, Joe Farrington Road, the police were on patrol. They saw 3 young men engaging a next young man who was fleeing for his life. I don't know if the one who got killed was the intended target. I don't know if he was a bystander, because they say it was a chase, and 3 guys opened fire on an individual. And the police responded, and they were able to engage the 3 young men. They were able to shoot 2 of the young men, 1 on the scene. 1 was later found in the bushes by community residents who was concerned about the shooting, and they reported where the suspect was in the bush, and he was suffering from gunshot wounds. After he was alleged involved in a murder, the 3rd suspect was able to avoid police, and he is at large as we speak. And we all know if 3 of them was together and 2 get catch, we all know that the 3rd suspect must already be in custody now, because those 2, you know what's going to happen to those 2. Their life is gone. So there are consequences. But the police was on the scene, and this is part of the police efforts to be more on a timely basis. They also were given, I think, some new cars from the U.S. government. Yeah, so the police were able to catch these 2 young men who took, at least these 3 young men who took the next individual life. But what I'm trying to say is these 3 now are locked up, okay? And if you listen later on tonight, you hear the similar thing again. And then tomorrow, we probably hear the same thing again and again and again. And it's the same type of incident, but not the same person. So there's so many young men out there who are thinking just like these 3. You know, there are hundreds out there. And any day we can be a victim. Someone wise in persons, you know, if you have a grudge with somebody, try go apologize. If you have a neighbor who you can't get along with, you know, there's some you can't get along with because some neighbors just don't like nobody. All right? That's just the way it is. You know, you have to find somebody to try avoid that. If you're in a relationship and it's a two-way relationship, well, you're dealing with a girl and she has an ex-boyfriend. And if this boyfriend is someone who has a temper and you are a soft, kind, and nice person, you need to make a decision to get out of that relationship. All right? If you have beef with guys on the streets, you know, and you're trying to kill one another, you know, better sometimes it's just good to go and try to apologize and see if you can make ends meet in some of these cases before it escalates where apology cannot be accepted. You know, I'm advising persons when they go to nightclub. If you go to nightclub and you see the nightclub is getting hectic and you start a row with somebody, you know, don't waste time rowing. Just leave the nightclub and go home, okay? And if you see someone who has been involved in serious offenses and they come in the nightclub and you know, like, it always be a problem, then you should. Don't care how good the nightclub is going on, I'd best to just leave, you know? Don't argue. You know, don't send threats. Sending threats, it's the quickest way to get killed. All right, it's better to keep your mood quiet. You know, some people get you upset and you say things, and no one is taking threats lightly now. Whether you joking or you ain't joking. You know, OGL is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And a lot of people, like I say, have a mental health issue. And the only thing they resort to is violence. So it's very important to be vigilant and short temper, you know, and be careful what you say to people. Okay, this is the advice I can give you, you know. And guys, again, who wear his ankle bracelet, if you're doing crime with his ankle bracelet, the police are going to be on your case. And business establishment, see these guys coming in ankle bracelet. I'm not against nobody with no ankle bracelet. You know? But these are the things that the Royal Bahamas Police Force is looking to enforce in order to reduce casualties and innocent people get, innocent bystanders get hurt. So they're after the ankle bracelet guys. All right? So if you have an ankle bracelet on, try your best not to travel no firearm, because you could lose your life, all right? Because they're tracking you. If you're in a nightclub and you carry this gun in the nightclub, the police coming to the nightclub, because you wear an ankle bracelet and they monitor you, especially if you're a high-risk individual. They're coming for you. They get the drone out, hot spots. The drone is out, you might not see it. So if you're causing fire, gunshot through your corner, they have the short spot up. The police are putting the drones, checking the shortcuts, looking at the old car where you're stashing the drugs, not knowing to you. So the police are strategizing. So I'm warning you guys, you know, if you want to preserve your life, you want to be free, listen to what's going on and try your best to stay away from bad intentions against your brothers and sisters in this country. Because too much is going on. It's 21/7. And the hospital has no bed. The hospital is in a terrible state. You know? You can't even get good health care now because of the overstress hospital and the overstress National Insurance Board. We're a small country, but we're losing a lot of money going out to Canada, the U.S., Haiti, China. Ain't nothing much left here for us who's struggling here in the country. All right? Everything is going out. The human Zion say when they say one out of the what? About 100%. They only say what? About 1% of the human saving. Or has about 10% or something like that. I can't really remember. 1% or 10%, I can't remember the factors. But they saying that when he don't have $1,000 in the bank, you imagine? More than half of the Bahamas don't have $1,000 in the bank. Could you imagine that? And be the richest country in the world. So there's a lot of stuff going on that's affecting us. All right, so I just want to say that. Now, you know, I'm going to the second part of the show. And all this started from this beautiful young lady who passed away. Her name is, what it is now? Kanisha Dowell, a mother of three, who died days after posting a heart-wrenching video on Facebook about the alleged negligence and poor healthcare she experienced at the Princess Margaret Hospital. The video going viral. She had over 200,000 viewers up to press time. Her family is now mourning and demanding answers surrounding the circumstances of her death. And she called for changes in the public healthcare system. You know, Health and Wellness Minister Dr. Michael Dowell said Friday gone that an investigation was underway. And he says he's familiar with the case, and he told the newspaper, I've seen the posting on social media, and instructed the Princess Margaret Hospital and the Public Hospital Authority to do an immediate investigation into the allegation. I'm concerned that it's already being done. I'm certain that it is already being done. And in short order, the PHA and Princess Margaret Hospital will be issuing a statement once all the factual information has been obtained. You know, she was saying that she needed blood and, you know, certain things, you know, et cetera, like hundreds, thousands would be in the hospital. Quite honestly, ain't that much blood could be in the hospital for a long time. Because we must remember now a lot of persons who got the COVID-19 shot, I don't think they could give blood. And it's going to be very difficult now that a lot of people are being, taking that shot. That's a lot of people who used to give blood, so they take away a lot from the population. And so the hospital around the world is going to have a lot of problem getting good blood. You know, and then we have to look at the rest of the population who have diabetes and high cholesterol and et cetera. Many of them who get cancer, they can't get blood. So the blood supply at the Princess Margaret Hospital is going to be low, very low, and we're going to be seeing things like this for a long time happening in the country. Sorry to say. You know, that's just the way it is now. Ask the conditions for the Princess Margaret Hospital before we go into our wonderful conversation. Let's see if the back and forth between the minister and former prime minister and the current prime minister over the state of the Princess Margaret Hospital. But first, let me read some. The Princess Margaret Hospital, let me see. Hold on. Okay. I get it right here. The Princess Margaret Hospital was founded as the Otero Cancer Institute in 1952 by the Otero government, originally located. It was built in, like I said, 1952. In 1953, the government of the Bahamas commissioned the Princess Margaret Hospital to provide health care to all people of the Bahamas. Right? All right. I think there are 220 beds. I think something like that. But anyway, it was built in 1952. At that time, the population was like, I think, close to over 100 plus, 150 to 160,000 persons. So when it was built to deal with healthcare for persons who have high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, and, you know, cuts and bruises and et cetera, et cetera. That's when these diseases start to occur rapidly in the country. And we were a growing population because of the success of the tourism industry and the success of the banking industry in the country and the success of the great business investments the Bahamas had to offer to many foreign entities around the world. So many companies wanted to do business here in the country. At that time, the hospital was designed to deal with that population. But as we had on Pinewood, as we had on Yellowella, as we had on Pride Estate, as we had on all these other subdivisions, the population got bigger. Common sense could tell everyone, all right? If you have a car and it's your family group in your household, you know, you're going to start saying we need a one because, you know, we got two additional kids. You know, that's after a period of time as the family grew. Same thing with the hospital. You know, as the population grew, as we health crisis where we see we have increase in diabetes and cancer, when the health officials were not telling us on what we supposed to be eating healthy. So when they started to develop in the country with cancer and diabetes, you know, we eating all that pig and grease and pork chop and red meat and steak and all this stuff, you know, they ain't telling us that these things will decrease our body to diseases, you know, and how to balance it. And many of us got obesity, and this shortened the lifespan of many and causing many to be bedridden in the hospital. And the nurses and doctors who have a staff, they're overworked because you're dealing with people who have ailments, you know. They're on a dialysis machine, and et cetera. And these things take time, and with the volume of people, you know, coming in with different ailments in the hospital, doctors them and nurses them, they are overwhelmed because we have failed to expand the hospital. As the population grow, we should say, you know what? When we reach government supposed to say, you know, when we reach 200,000, let's start to build a new hospital. Take the pressure off Princess Margaret Hospital. And why the doctors and nurses and assistants and the dentists at the Princess Margaret Hospital to be able to divert the volume of people from that hospital to the next hospital. And then you say to yourself, you know, in the next 15, 20 years, you have this on paper, you know, as a manifesto that every 25 to 30 years, we start to build a new hospital based on the population. You know, and if we had like four different hospitals saturated in the Bahamas right now, and we had the proper healthcare guideline and proper food management and making sure that our government has people checking the food that comes in the country, make it so that they're checking the food to make sure that the food is the healthy food for Bahamians, you know, that stop diabetes and cholesterol and all this stuff, you know, obesity. You know, because you eat a lot of McDonald's and a lot of Kentucky. These are not healthy food. These are food that you eat on special occasion. You know, like kids them do good in school, and then you say, you know what, we're going to McDonald's on Saturday. But every day consuming that, every day consuming Kentucky and McDonald's and what we call it now, pig and pork chop and et cetera, without eating fruits and vegetables and using the natural vitamins like the canap and soursop and watermelon and pineapple and all this stuff to balance, you know. This leads a lot of people being bedridden in the hospital, and this causes the hospital to be overbooked and no beds available. And because we never plan, our governments never plan. They never plan for the future. They were just concerned about running this economy, but now, just like the prison is overfilled, just like NIB, just like the government buildings, you know, that we failed to, have maintenance on. Like the sports center, you know, we just got the sports center built a few years ago, but look how it's deteriorating. We failed to put a proper maintenance on the sports center. We're supposed to have maintenance every year. We're checking them, rust and little tear, and make sure that, you know, we're not doing all that. We're not planning for the future. And it's collapsed, you know. It's collapsed to a point where we have, yeah. Let me read. This is the Nassau Guardian. The state of Princess Margaret Hospital became fodder for debate in the House of Assembly, with Prime Minister Davis saying he did not know that PMH was in as bad a condition as it was while, hold on, was in as bad as condition. Hold on, let me get it right. PMH, let me get it right. Brave Davis saying he did not know that the Princess Margaret Hospital was in as bad as a condition as it was, while declaring the negligence of our health system in recent years was indefensible. The Prime Minister fired off a series of allegations against former Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis. Lamblas said it was Davis' sudden realization that the facility is a crisis. Davis, who toured the hospital on Sunday, charged that Minnis did nothing to improve the infrastructure of the Princess Margaret Hospital for 4.5 years in office. Well, let me put it like this. I like Mr. Davis. I think that he's a good man. I think he's overwhelmed right now. And I think the parties look like it's staying off in the right direction. The opposition is getting some traction, some good points. We have ministers who I really don't like too much, not because of the his individuality. It's just because I knew he could do better with the Overdale Initiative. I knew if he had the right people who was involved in the Overdale Initiative, the Urban Design Lab, we'd be in a very better position than we in today. So far as I'm concerned, I'll say this to Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis, I know you just became Prime Minister, but according to that, from 19, what does this thing say? According to this information, the Princess Margaret Hospital was founded in 1952, right? And the PLP was in power, the UBP was in power, right? Then the PLP came in power for 25 years. And Mr. David, if I'm correct, you served under Mr. Christie administration, and you was the deputy prime minister. So what you're saying, sir, that you didn't know, it's a complete lie. Now, besides you running the country, I respect you. But when you could come over and make this assumption, I don't care if it's a good man or not, you're trying to say that you never knew the state that the Princess Margaret Hospital was in, and you would have served 2 terms under Mr. Christie administration, knowing full well the conditions that the BMA people have been facing. It's just that side that you get overwhelmed with so much things, and then in fact you're making headway on some other departments, building some other departments on the Princess Margaret Hospital. Now, your government has made it their business as a mandate to upgrade the Princess Margaret Hospital. But so for you to say what you said in the newspaper, if the newspaper is right, and that you did not know, it's a complete lie, so you knew, but you served under the government. And then for the former prime minister, now let me tell you something, sir. Two of you guys, let me tell you something. The Princess Margaret Hospital was in despair from since the Bahamas population grew. and for minister open his mouth and say that the prime minister of the country, you know, sir, you is a doctor, and you is the biggest disgrace of them all, because you was a doctor. You work in the hospital all those years, privately and in the hospital, and you walk up and down and you preach that if you got in politics, you're going to make some things happen at the Princess Margaret Hospital. Right? I've seen, I think they say $10 million or $1 million worth of pharmaceutical drugs going missing from the hospital, and it can't be accounted for. I can't remember who administration was. One of the government administration. And minister. So, you were doctor. So, you should be the last person to ever open your mouth, because you saw the despair in the hospital. And when you got in power, you neglect the hospital as a top physician. You understand? Mr. Davis lied. He knew exactly what was going on in the hospital, just that when you get in power, you're doing so much different projects. You're getting people to invest. You know, Mr. Davis invests in Cat Island now. You see all the infrastructure he's doing in Cat Island. This confused you. Then they say, what do you say? What they call him now? Fly Away Davis, or what they call him? Always Away Davis, means he travels a lot. This will make you unfocused on the priority. If anyone's ever going to win the next general election, this is my opinion. This is my opinion on what it's going to cost you to win the general election. Either way, our solution for crime, immigration, and decreasing poverty, and building new hospitals. These are the things here, because remember now, Mr. Davis and his PLP government, y'all didn't win the election. No generalists win the election for y'all. Everyone was mad as hell at Minister, and they wanted him to go. Remember, that's the lowest voters turnout ever in the history of the Bahamas. So don't get relaxed and think the BME people with you. Don't be like Michael Pine and saying the people with you. Michael Pine say all the people over them in Freeport. What happened election time? Huh? Remember that? Michael Pine get all the people. He's speaking for the people. Yeah. Boy, when he got in the poll, the people in Freeport really put it on them. We vote government out. And if you want to repeat, you better focus on poverty, crime, immigration, and build some new hospitals and bring down the cost of living in this country. Okay, we're going to take this call on Inside Inner City. Go ahead, caller.
You doing?
I'm fine. Good night to you.
Listen, man, and you know, you mentioned something with food security. First of all, I think the Minister Clay Sweeten is making a concerted effort in building production plants, and
I agree.
Some of the farming islands, but I do think we have some existing processors who are, and I indeed are one of them, who are we making inroads. We are already exporting, and we can really do so much more. There are some linkages with tourism. Minister Chester Cooper doing a phenomenal job with the tourism product, and we see an increase of them, and we can produce products that we can get into the tourist hand that can translate into foreign currency coming in. It's phenomenal. So I think maybe we need a micro management of the processes, what they are doing, who they are, and all the data is in there at Inland Revenue. They know who's doing what the turnovers are, and seek to sit with them and see how we can develop product.
Yes, I agree.
Also, work with the farmers to know what can be grown in conjunction with what the processors can produce.
Yes.
So let's say if I'm a processor and I have three farmers assigned to me with products I would need, we can do a deal where maybe 20% I paid him. And then they grow the crop for me, but I'm producing, I have a sustainability of raw material that I can beach product that we can get into the domestic market and then sort of laden and develop into the to export. But, you know, the question is, you know, sometimes we feel like people want to pick the winners. I mean, people who have no knowledge or not in the water, and they want to let people from anywhere come and say, all right, I can do this because I have proximity to perhaps the people in authority. But you have to go on the historic nature of people who's doing things, and you have the record. You say, listen, man, these guys been doing this for 5 years, 10 years.
Yes.
And look at that turnover.
Yes.
How could we help these people grow sustainably and integrate them with the farmers, and so we don't have things that's going to be discarded by bombs and all the other things.
Yes, a lot goes.
You understand what I'm saying?
I fully understand. You're making good sense. Go ahead.
You know, and also to with regard to food products coming, I think government could raise revenue on all the food products that's coming in. So now we have an FDA number that we are the export. We export last week some stuff to the U.S.
Yes, sir.
We have to have prior notice for our products going to the U.S. Mm. We need to have an FDA number, which is a facility number that we need to give them so they track our stuff when they get there. So when our stuff gets into the U.S., to my agent, the FDA clears it first. Mm. Then it goes on to custom.
Mm.
So I think we need to have under the food standard. They need to have all the food products that are coming into the Bahamas be registered where they upload all the foods that is coming into the Bahamas. So, for example, if you're bringing chicken, if you're bringing whatever, and it's food products, it need to go to the Standard Bureau where you pay a upload it and you pay a tax.
Yes,
and incoming food item.
And also,
it should have a number that the Bahamas assigned to you, and you should have the facility where that product was made, just that they require me to do when I'm selling it to the U.S.
Yeah, so you're making sure it's healthy and it's gradable.
Not only that, you can track what's coming in.
Yes, yes.
So I'm saying, so they should have a portal say, okay, you're an agency and you're bringing in cookies? Okay, who's it coming from? So you have 10 containers of cookies to come in?
Yes, sir.
What are the batch number?
Yes.
Where were they manufactured? What is the expiry date?
Yes.
And what is the date of arrival?
Yes.
And once you send it to the Standard Bureau or whatever,
our
Bahamas Food DA agent, they verify, they clear it.
Yes, sir.
Then it goes to custom to clear.
Yes.
We got to stop playing with this. They requiring us to do it outbound.
But not inbound.
We should do it inbound.
Inbound. Like, yes, I agree.
You understand?
What's for good? They just say what for the goose is good for us too, eh?
No, but this is revenue that they can draw from it. We're not saying it is wrong.
No,
every product that's coming in, you should be able to upload, even if it's a minimum amount.
I agree.
Under the Standard Bureau, say the Standard Bureau, okay, I'm bringing in 20 tons of pork. It's manufactured in this factory. The production date is this, the expiry date is this.
That's right.
That pass under the Standard Bureau, they come in, they say, okay, we verify that. You have a number that can clear it. It goes on the custom.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah. Let me ask you, let me just say this. So that's when they see a recall system. They say, well, we recall the four Taurus because there's a malfunction with the the airbag. And that's something like what you're talking about.
The same thing with cars. Like, take for instance, you drive on the road, right? You see the jeepneys have all these stuff coming from the exhaust.
Yes, yes.
There should be a checking of the exhaust.
Yes, that can't be on the streets.
Yeah, all the cars that are coming in, the used cars, should have a criteria where the government could levy taxes on, okay, your car come in, start that car, let's see the exhaust. What's coming from that?
Yes.
You understand? And levy a tax.
How much emission is given out? How much emission is getting out? We don't want that here in the Bahamas. That is not acceptable in the Bahamas. Just like the fruits and vegetables talking coming in.
B, I am driving down the road, and sometimes some of the cars in front of me, and when they move
they're supposed to be on the road.
From that, I turn off my air condition because all that comes inside the car.
You correct, sir. So we even supposed to be dealing with that. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about.
No, we need this. There's a lot of areas that we're talking about. You're taxing small business, but there's some niche areas that the government can go and say, environment, okay, start the exhaust. We don't want that admission to be XYZ, so that car can't come in.
That's right.
If it don't have XYZ, don't bring that car.
That's right. That's like
in the food. If you can't say where that food was produced,
yes,
and what's the production date and expiry date,
yes,
we don't want that.
That's
company.
Right.
And all the stuff should be inbound cargo to the farmer. Should be uploaded. In particularly food product and drinks and all that stuff should be uploaded to Standard Bureau, and they can make money off this.
Because people don't know this. A lot of the food that entered the Bahamas would never enter Europe. They were not allowed because they know, and in Russia and places like that, they were not allowed.
We do a private label for the UK, and we had to go to standards rigorous. They don't play, and the EU is
tell us,
even
tell us a little bit about that. How serious they is on food and cars and stuff like that. How serious this?
They are. They have criteria, and if you don't meet those criteria, as a matter of fact, there's so much limits to what you could put into what product coming to their country.
Mm-hmm.
Under the FDA, you have to be under certain criteria how you're manufacturing. Your facility is registered and all this stuff. And you know, we're doing all the right things. And if we can just get the help, this can be an awesome thing to integrate farmers with producers. Even if you do it regionally, you say, who are the farmers? And they can grow specific crops.
May I say this right? Because you making such a good sense. And so all kind of things are popping in my head. We just had this COVID-19 period. And they say that, you know, it deals with the immune system. And the immune system is your stomach. They said that's where you start from. And the stuff we eat, they say, is what makes you. That's what the World Health Organization say. And we have all these watermelon, all these pineapples, and all these soursop, and all these wonderful fruits and vegetables here in the country. And what you're saying that we have to invest more in this stuff, and what is getting bring into the country, we have to make sure that we tax it properly and make sure that it is healthy for Bahamians here. But and also we get all these fruits and vegetables.
I think they've tricked us. I think the Bahamas have been growing things organically for a long time. What they did, right?
Go ahead, sir.
So we've been known to use the chicken manure and all that stuff to do our farming and stuff.
Yes, sir.
But they flipped the script on us. Now we are doing it better than you, and we are telling you the criteria, but we have no other way to do it because we didn't have no fertilizer and all this. We're going from chicken manure and all the other fruits that drop from the tree.
Uh-huh.
We would put it back in the garden,
so
we would burn the wood and put it back into the garden. You know, and all of a sudden now they saying they are the organic expert, which us we've been doing this all along.
So that's why we can. What the chicken place the name on the highway? What the name now? Chicken? What the Glasson Farm? That's with the chicken, right?
So you're too young to know about that. Man.
No, man. I used to ride my bicycle out there, so that's why I closed down. That's what you're trying to say.
All right.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. The problem is we as a people. I mean, you know, I had the opportunity to open companies in other countries, and we sell ourselves so short, like we don't know nothing. But you know, and when I have people talk about Bahamians are lazy, I say, what are you talking about? The very foundation of what we have is that people who sweat, like my mother, who worked 2 and 3 jobs and hotels, and you're talking about we are lazy? Are you out of your mind?
But I'm listening, they're saying how we had stallions, we had pigs, we had cattle, we had chicken farm, we had factories building pigeon peas and all this stuff all over on different families.
We had no other way because we had no other ways for foreign exchange.
Wow.
But now we got, you know what I mean? I remember when my grandmother used to send my mom peas and even the hog from Eleuthera and we had to go pick up the fish and all that stuff. But now we are so sophisticated. We we like, oh, you know.
Got to get imported to
you. And the tenacity of some people to get on ready on that behemoth lazy. Are you out of your mind? Who are you? And when you're talking about we are lazy, you're including yourself.
Yes, sir.
You know, when you're talking about we white man.
I think that we lose our way, and many people want to use their hands, want to get back in these things, but they can't find the old ways to come with the new now. You know, because if we look at it, and we talk about COVID-19, it deals with the health, and if we look at it, they say watermelon and soursop and dilly and juju and all these things together, you know, makes us healthy. And I just want to say this, sir. Cancer just come around in the bombs, you know, 67 years ago when we changed our food diet from eating healthy, you know. Go look at it. Take a tell you these things. Many people didn't have no cancer and diabetes and obesity. You check back because we were eating healthy. Y'all want the pork chop and pig? God say, okay. I give you the pork chop and pig. You can be pig in the bed.
But good. I think to the Standard Bureau, we can could monitor the food that's coming in.
I think
we should have a portal where the Standard Bureau to custom.
Yes, sir.
Can stand that every food product coming in here,
yes, sir,
need to be registered.
Yes,
so
sir.
If you bring a container, any food products in here, you need to go to the Standard Bureau.
Yes,
one,
pass.
It should have who the manufacturer is. Two, it should have the production date. Mm. Three, it should have the amount. Four, it should have the expiry date and who is coming to.
Thank you.
These should be criteria that should be minimum done that we can track.
Wow.
All the food products coming in here. And outbound, like now, when we send our product away, we need to, our labeling needs to be right. FDA asks for all of our labels when we're sending stuff to the U.S. prior to it coming there. If the labeling is right, they're not letting it in.
It's true. I read this stuff.
You know, so I'm trying to figure out why are we selling ourselves short?
Yeah.
In the name of just bringing it in?
Yeah.
Think about the tax, the revenue we can bring. If they say $1 billion is the amount we're spending, think about if the Standard Bureau can make 5% of that just to administrate what's coming in.
Mm.
Think about it. Anyway, I need to get out of callers.
Thank you very much.
5% of $1 billion to the Standard Bureau and Customs Department.
And that's what we pay to import stuff in the country.
Yeah, import. We reverse it. Every time they're going to import something into the Bahamas, they have to go to the Standard Bureau and upload what is it you're bringing in.
Thank
production date, facility, factory, expiry date, batch number.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, we know exactly what's coming into this country.
Thank you very much, sir.
Cool.
Thank you, man. You did a wonderful job. You talk about the safeguard. You talk about how we can make a lot of revenue and create a lot of jobs for the local farmers in the country. Thank you very much, sir. You did a wonderful job explaining that to us. You know, and again, Mr. Davis, I know you mean well, right? But don't get caught up in minutes. Both of you are at fault. Both of you serve under administration. Both serve under the PLP. Both serve under the FNM. Y'all know exactly what was going on. It just wasn't that priority because, you know, it's such a difficult job. And you get preoccupied. See, like the Prime Minister right now. See, I want you to know, you know. The Prime Minister right now is doing so much different stuff. He need to focus. So, focus. I can tell you this now. You can get confused doing all kinds of different programs. You have Chester Cooper doing a phenomenal job. You're doing a phenomenal job investing in your hometown of Cat Island. Chester Cooper is doing a wonderful, wonderful job of introducing tourism and creating opportunities for his constituents. And I'm going to say this, Mr. Davis, focus, sir. Focus on crime, immigration, food security, poverty, and how we can empower people. I'm going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller.
Good night. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir. Good night to you.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the same voice being on the radio talk show a little earlier, but I go back just to bring this to the public attention again.
Go ahead.
We got to find out where the money for our lignum vitae tree is going, because I was reading up on it, and before 1942, they was extracting that out of the Bahamas.
Stop that, man.
And sending it to foreign land. And it is getting used for so much parts put on our cars.
Stop
and
that.
All type of different things it is getting used for.
The lignum vitae?
Yes, lignum vitae tree.
Wow. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, and it's used for medicinal purposes also.
What?
Like I say, it was getting extracted from the Bahamas. This was inside the biography online.
Oh, wow.
On our government site. About
on our
the
government
lignum
site? See, this is the kind of stuff.
On the government site. I have a screenshot of it in my phone where I take a screenshot of it.
Wow. Send it around.
It's on the government site. And it about the lignum vitae. And I was so surprised, man, to know that. I don't hear nobody talk about it, no other poison, and it being getting extracted from our country for so long, and we don't never hear no one asking question about where the money for it going.
Wow. I wonder where the money is going for it for you, and that could go back into some type of empowerment for the young kids in the community or to the hospital or some type of investment. Anything else you'd like to say, Carla? You did a wonderful job.
Yeah,
there.
I also like to say, man, it don't make sense for them to dig up our aragonite day after day, year after year, because that only weakening our marine system.
Wow.
And plus, it's making our country vulnerable to
hurricanes and
tsunamis and earthquakes and
good.
Like that.
Yes, sir. Good
stuff. Like, you know, because we have the type of aragonite that we have.
Yes, sir.
It actually lays on our seabed, and it forms a sort of
barrier.
Cement. It's called marine cement or something like that.
Yeah, because it's the finest sand in the world.
I don't see the sense in them. Like, I only 27, bro.
But
you
boss, you smart.
I don't see the sense in them digging it up yearly, and they know they jeopardize in our country.
Wow.
Doing it.
Did wonderful.
Like, I want to know, you know, they done in their 50s and 60s, they still in government.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if they thinking about leaving the country for us or they just want to clean up all the gold before they go.
Because
they soon die. This our country. I know why they trying to take everything while they
leave something for us, eh?
Yes, leave something for me.
I agree with
and
you.
My children.
You're very intelligent. Don't mind that 27. You knock some serious points here. What are we doing with the lignum vitae extraction? And this year is one of the things they're talking about creating opportunities. You know, these kind of programs, especially they are what you call our natural resources. And we're talking about the fruits and vegetables. Now the gentleman talking about lignum vitae. We could train our kids to extract this stuff and sell them abroad. And that's what the caller was saying a little earlier, you know, when he's talking about the checks and balances, you know, what comes in, what comes out, you know, and that's a very good point that young gentleman made just now on the caller before. You're right on cue. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, good night, School G.
Good night to you.
Hey, School G.
Yes, sir.
Call the young gentleman. I appreciate his call.
Yeah, yeah, that was very informative.
Sure, that the young people are waking up in the country.
All
right?
Yes, sir.
But Scoogey,
go ahead, boss.
You know, it explains to me, right? I always was curious, right, why there isn't any lignum vitae trees nowhere on government properties, nowhere in schools, nowhere on the side of the road.
Let me find a weird granny.
Now I understand where it's going. Because, Scoogey, think about it.
And that's our national
tree. If the lignum vitae tree is the national
tree, and they say you can't touch them.
And 80 to 90% of the Bahamian people cannot identify it if they see it because it is not a familiar tree to Bahamian. Right?
Yes,
sir. Scoogey, you know a lignum vitae tree,
Yeah, I know. Yellow flowers on it.
No, Scoogey, you get blue flowers on it.
Man, look, I know what it is, man. Trust me, I know. I know what it is.
But just like he said, you can drink too, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
good for something, mate.
Drink, but hey, Scoogey, the lignum vitae tree, that's something we really need to talk about, man. I ain't telling you.
Okay.
I have that tree. I have one of those trees.
Mm-hmm.
I think it must be the only lignum vitae tree in this community or this area.
Stop that, man.
Right?
Yeah.
And when I just ask people when they come down, well, what type of tree that is? And they'll call it all type of tree. Tamarind, they'll call it moringa, they'll call it all type. But none will come home and say
that's the lignum
vitae. That's the lignum vitae.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone on the national tree, eh?
That's the national tree, but hey, we have to do some serious checks in this country of because see,
and
as simple as that song when that gentleman, the young gentleman, came on to talk about the Lake the Mighty area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are, that's a national tree, and you could stop any human being walk, most human beings walking on in this country, and right, and they would cannot identify a Lake the Mighty tree if it had to save them, but they know Ponciana, right? Ponciana, you have a whole street named after
Rachel by the Guardian.
A foreign tree, what's important that most Bayman people can identify and think it's a part of the Bahamas.
Right by the college, you know where you see the Bahamas.
Right. The tree is what they blend them, bring them, them pretty orange shoes with, right?
That's
what
they have
to do with the Bahamas. But
that,
now
that's
I understand.
That's what's getting mixed up with Nick
Now I understand why they planned them, that they was a distraction.
Yeah.
Fuji.
So they could get the Lake the Mighty out of the
so
country.
So they could get the Lake the Mighty.
Yeah. And it's a national bird. It's supposed to be a national tree and it's supposed to be protected, but yet still be here to get extracted from the 27-year-old. We need to find out what's going on.
You old enough probably could remember when we was growing up back in the day, a couple of Lake the Mighty trees was in
the
communities that
and in
you
the schools,
could go and take piece of Lake the Mighty bark off.
And in the schools.
And make top of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
And once you want to Lake the Mighty...
Right.
Top, ain't nobody could have
break
split
it.
That.
Can't split it. You're like, you're right. And you didn't want it. You did.
We being robbed, man, Scoochie.
Yeah.
We gotta wake up. And you know, when it comes to the hospital, I get right now.
Go ahead, boss. Let me hear you rub this one in.
When it comes to the hospital, Scoochie.
Uh-huh.
If that is this back and forth between the these two
parliamentarian.
If this isn't sufficient enough evidence to prove to the Bayman people
how
that they
were
duped by the U.S. government,
mm-hmm.
right? Because truly, if you truly interested in helping the people, right? Really use the PLP or FNM.
It would have been a priority.
Right? If you truly interested, we should have been having, we should have been hearing our prime ministers arguing with how better the job they did than each other.
That's right. Helping to build a hospital.
Yeah, no, because I didn't build two hospitals, but you only built one.
Mm-hmm, that's what you're supposed to be talking about.
We have two prime ministers
and taking build
the
none.
Precious time to talk about a hospital with some cases. Instances.
It's dead,
you know,
man.
Before some of them, or when they was born and they had to carry up the...
And they ain't going there, you know. Brave ain't going there, and Menace ain't going there. They going to Doctor's Hospital, or they going to the States.
Right. And so it only takes for us, again, we have to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see that if we don't stand together in this country,
unless
we can keep being swing by these political parties what don't have no...
Interest in
no desire for empowering the Bayman people. They don't care about the upliftment of this. Hey, Scoochie, this 50 years.
Yes, sir. And we still get one hospital.
One hospital, right? One half city, because before independence, we had two functional cities.
Yeah.
You know, Grand Bahama was functional before independence.
Yes.
Right? And after independence, we see the demise of Grand Bahama to the point the way it is today.
Deteriorate.
And when you look at New Providence,
we finished
away. New Providence only tripping along because we get a cruise port.
Uh-huh.
And if we didn't have that cruise port
inside
New Providence,
we'd be finished.
We'd be mash up. Look at it.
Call it coming ready. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We'd have been mash up. In this country, if it wasn't just for because everything on Bay Street, it ain't nothing like how it used to be when it comes to a vibrant nation, man. So, hey, we have to do some changes.
Yes.
And it all starts with leadership.
Yes.
It's time for the Bayman people to wake up and realize their worth, right? You know, we ain't their servants, right?
Yeah.
We, right?
That's right. We ain't no more slaves. Yes.
if you have intelligent enough famous, just like the gentleman would been on this.
Yeah, 27, you want to know
what I'm capable
that.
Of getting solving any problem.
Yes.
That needs to be solved in this country, but we just have leaders.
Give them the opportunity.
Do not want these problems to be solved.
Yes, sir.
Have a nice night, Scoochie.
Thanks very much, man. You did a wonderful job. These callers good, you know. You guys are real smart. I tell you, we can solve our own problems. Just give us a chance. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. Go ahead, caller. Still there? I guess they're gone. And the evidence is there. You know, I think Davis is a wonderful prime minister. He is governing the country so far. As far as investment, he's doing extremely great. Chester Cooper is doing an extremely great job with investment and tourism. In his constituency, along with Rave Davis, they're both within their constituency. They're doing a wonderful job. They're governing, but now they're being overwhelmed. And you got to be very careful, Mr. Davis. This is where things go wrong. When you see the opposition start to talk and the people start to talk, they're talking about the hospital, they're talking about crime, they're talking about poverty. These are the three main issues that you need to tackle right away. All right? Because remember, so if you get sick, you're not going to the Princess Margaret Hospital. Neither you. Former Prime Minister, Dr. Hubert Minnis, you know who go to the hospital, people? Me and you, who can't afford to go to doctor's hospital, all right? Me and you. So one day, we seeing what happened to this young lady, this beautiful young lady, right? And like I say, it's because of neglect, right? One day it'd be me and you. I tell you, I saw my own grandmother looking up in the oxygen emergency, and she didn't have a bed, okay? And she was looking up in the light, and she got blind from the light, my own grandmother. You know how to feel to see all of the rest of people, grandmother, and I was so mad. Listen to me. You know? That kind of treatment ain't supposed to be for nobody. One day we're going to be a grandmother or a grandfather, and you're going to be laying on a bed right there. This ain't have nothing to do with the PLB now, and that's election time. So if you won't be chanting for Brave Lives or chanting for Human Minutes and wondering who could be the next government, one day, let me show you what's going to happen. One day, they're going to get the best treatment. We're going to pay. Me and you are going to pay for Brave Lives Healthcare and Minutes Healthcare for the rest of our days. But who's going to pay for your health care? You think when you vote for each one of these guys, and if they don't do the right thing and invest in the hospital, invest in crime, you know, and et cetera, you, one day you're going to end up on that bed, just like your grandmother or your mother or your uncle. Calm Wolf, you're going to end up there. And you know who fault it is? Your fault, because you all failed to don't recognize that you need to speak out on these things. Only because this matter come up again with this young girl. We have these two extraordinary seasoned veteran politicians. One is a former prime minister. One is a current prime minister. The current one has a task at hand. And he needs to leave a legacy. And he needs to create hospital. He needs to create better healthcare screening for the food that comes in this country. We need to teach our kids how to eat healthier. We have all the fruits and vegetables here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to help us live a healthy living. If we could be able to displace them in any city communities and around the countries in the food store at a very cheap price where we can afford them. Cassava and eddy and yam and breadfruit. All these things are healthy, and we could manufacture these things and create a lot of small business opportunities for farmers and people alike to harvest these things, you know. That's just how it is, you know. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. Caller, you there? They left? Yeah. Yeah, so go ahead, caller. We have a next caller. Caller, you're live. Go ahead. It seems he can't get you. They call him, they can't get you. Wait the next second, see if anyone else want to call. Yeah, so people, let me just say that. You still got to ask for better. I think it's beeping again. Kermit, you want to... The person keep on calling and they're hanging up. But anyway, yeah. And that's the reason why we got so upset. Every time something happens over and over in the country, we get riled up, you know, Lil Bella, you know, Marco Archer. First it was Marco Archer, before Marco Archer, you know, then Lil Bella. Then the little kid who got, it was found unresponsive. Then we get all riled up. This problem is not going nowhere. I just want everyone who listens to this show, you're going to end up in the hospital one day. And the condition are going to remain the same. And if you think voting for the PLP or FNM right now is going to make it, what you have to do, you have to demand that the government and the prime minister develop and build new hospital, which they are currently doing. At the same time, we need critical assistance at the hospital. You know, nurses and doctors need to be relieved of duty because of overexhaustion and underpaid. And we have to bring in new recruits. And at the same time, we're going to have to try and bring down all these ailments of cancer, diabetes. How do you do that? By teaching the population to eat healthy. You know, you can't be getting kid pork chop, a child pork chop. A child pork chop. Hot dogs. You know, you got to mix it up. You know, noodles all day. No candy and chicken and cheese, doo-doo, and all these things get all kind of cholesterol, and this prepares the child for disaster as the child grow. If he's not athletic and not eating properly, the child's going to develop obesity and heart disease and all kind of stuff. You know? Okay, the phone line is ripping up. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
That's this Chris Brown.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give thanks.
Good.
Boy, you made me smile last week when you gave your consensus on the NATO, the breaching of the Warsaw Pact. But we'll talk about that on another day.
Okay.
NATO. Just keep reading, because, listen, man, you know, what you're talking about is so crucial, right? I think you need to, I mean, this need to be done regularly because, man, it's scary. We're actually driving our children to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So to speak. I'm thinking pictographically here, right?
That's what we do.
We are driving our children to the hospital because the diet that they're eating now, right?
Yes.
You know, I just got to push the little walnuts and the little tamarind and the blueberries and strawberries in my daughter's mouth in the morning,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And force her to drink the water in the front of the school. You see? And so, with the scare.
I think we lost him. We have an ex call on the line. I think he called back 52. And I'll be coming to your store soon. I'm just putting my exhaust fan for my restaurant. I'm almost complete. I'm struggling, but I'm almost complete. 2 more months and I should have my restaurant. All right, okay? Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Father Scrooge.
Hey. Bless her, bless her.
Better.
Everything good, everything good.
What's this now, Scrooge? What? I hear you talking, but that's right.
Said it again.
I see you talking, but this poor European Western diet we on, right?
It's garbage. It's garbage. Where's the garbage? China radio just a little bit. Go ahead, brother.
Now, what's this? I want to take you back, right?
Go ahead.
When we was growing up in the inner cities in our community, and this is what them Rasta used to be talking about.
Yes, they used to talk about the pork and what it's going to do to us. Yes. Yes.
And the Rasta was talking about idle and saying they're killing us through the food 40 years ago.
Yes, telling us to eat the peanut and eat
the idle. And the Rasta say don't eat the pork, don't eat the flesh.
Yeah, they told us it was a curse and what had happened with the dual immune system and all that.
Rasta them, and they've been telling, we grow up knowing but this food.
You're right.
We grow up knowing but this. The Rasta them always been telling us the truth. But we laugh at them.
We persecute them.
We marginalize them.
Cut their locks.
Cut their locks, call them this and that. But all along, 40 years ago, the brothers warned us about this. Now we have Wendy's encroaching on the inner city, right? Coming closer and closer, selling their filth. And if you look more closely, these bad eating habits are now becoming the norm.
Yep.
But all these things, if we go back 40 years,
you're right,
them
brother.
Same Rastas who everyone was laughing at and mistreating and marginalized them economically. everything what the brothers were saying, and I wasn't being the truth.
It's true. It's the truth. It's the truth.
I mean, if you could remember.
No, it's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth.
Yeah, brother. So my only vision from it all is that the truth is that the consciousness of this individualism that controlling our system need to change.
Yes.
We need to get back to the collective conscience, which is the foundation of all African communities. Maybe it's time for the African paradigm to lead.
Wow.
And keep up the good work.
Yeah, man, Gavin, man. Man, Gavin, you did wonderful tonight, man. That's my boy, Gavin. High flying Gavin. He was one of the best basketball players in the country. Gavin. High flying Gavin. Man, Gavin, you did wonderful. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Are they still there? We got a next caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, Scrooge.
Hey, good night.
Good night to you, man. Good. Always a pleasure to give a contribution on to your show.
Yes, sir.
When you're on.
Yes, sir.
Very interesting conversation tonight. My two cents in this whole thing is, you know, growing up in the inner city, back in the 60s when I was born, 70s, 80s, you know, but in particular the 60s and the 70s.
Yes, sir.
You know, the children weren't exposed to fast food.
Mm.
In fact, fast food wasn't even really all that prevalent.
Yeah, I said it earlier. Yes, sir.
Time outside of,
yes, sir,
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
And, you know, the thing is with us, we grew up, you know, God in his infinite wisdom, you know, supplied we during that time with everything that we needed because we eat it. We,
yes,
ate from the fruit trees and the different trees around.
Yes.
I mean, you talk about fast food. We didn't even know what fast food was. Fast food was eating tamarind and
that's right,
and,
sir. Yes, sir.
And canep and,
yes, sir,
and blueberries and,
yes, sir,
and patchberry and cocoa plum and,
yes,
all that,
yes,
stuff.
Yes.
But now what has happened, we have allowed our country to be infiltrated with these fast food operations where you're talking about trans fats and different saturated oils and all this stuff.
Yes, sir.
And it's affecting our health,
yes,
more significantly than ever. I mean, if you look at the older people on the island,
they live long.
Some persons live to be
they live
in
long.
And 100 and so.
And they're strong.
Exactly. And strong and in their right mind.
Yes.
The faculties are working perfectly. They could recall things from,
yes,
childhood and all that stuff. And today you find that the majority of children today can't even recall their lessons in school because of all of the garbage
inside
that
them.
They're being fed.
Yes, sir.
And so I think it's very important, you know, although they call fast food, but it's not fast because you still got to wait.
That's a good one.
I tell you, fast food is not fast food anymore.
No.
But I think primarily when you find that you have children, your children are asking for things, get back to
the basic,
to the seasonal stuff,
yes,
that God has put for every person to enjoy.
Yes.
You know, and that's where we have fallen short.
Yes.
You know, we have to get back to nature.
Yes.
And 52, my brother, if you're hearing me, I'm going to leave my number with the producer. In fact, Scroogey.
Yes, sir.
Take my number. I want you to give my number to 52.
Okay, we'll do that.
52, I just want to say this before I leave the air.
Yes,
I,
sir,
was shocked to find out that 52 apparently worked at the Radisson Cable Beach during the time that I worked there. I worked there from 84 to 1999, and I got to know 52, and 52 got to know me, because especially if he worked in the engineering department, he and I should be well acquainted.
Wow.
So I want to leave my number,
yes,
and ask him to give me a call after he comes off the show, okay?
Yes. I'll let the two-time defending New Year's Day champion Kermit from the One Family Junkaroo give me the number. We're going to take this last call. Thank you very much. You did a wonderful, wonderful job here tonight. 52.
Thank you, and I'll hold for Kermit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 52, you heard that? Man, 52, you was an old guy. We being run. We're going to take this last call if the producer allow it. coming to you right now, caller. You just taking this number, so give it a second, and we can see if we get you on there. Because I'd like for you guys who listen to the show, and if it's something that you can respond to and it relates to you, that's what the show is all about. Okay? We got up a mute for the conversation, and the conversation here tonight is actually about solving some of the country's problems. You listen to all the smart voices who talk, because you're the 27-year-old, the gentleman before that, 52, and the gentleman just called, and the caller before that. All of you did a wonderful job, and that's the kind of dialogue we want to have on the show. That's what the talk show is supposed to be about, where the talk show host comes up with a topic that relates to the regular behavior and let them compensate on it, you know? Kermit, we can take this last call? You think we can take this last one, Kermit? Oh, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. They left. Yes, and... You know, the last caller talked about the 60s and that fast food besides Kentucky, you know, wasn't around. And that's what people don't know. If you look at the seasoning, you know, you could grow your sweet pepper, you could grow your pepper in the yard, you could grow your onions, you could grow your potatoes. There's so much things you could grow in the back of your yard. You just have to be consistent about it. But these are natural ingredients. You know, if you look at the sweet pepper in the food store, and you grow sweet pepper in the back of the yard. Listen, look at the smell of sweet pepper you grow in the back of the yard. It's be so toxic. It smells so good. When you put it in the food, it tastes so good. And the pepper, you know, when you mix that, nice and seasoned, you know? Some natural ingredients. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I should know Jeff Delevo because your boy the boy who called some of the Rastas, he's correct, man. You
yeah,
know?
Man.
Joe Biden them and Ruben them and everybody used to be telling us from these little youth.
Yeah.
Best I used to wake in the hotel, I still was slim, right? So I watch everybody get fat, very squishy.
Hey.
I didn't realize hot dog, popcorn, bubblegum, ice cream, the American dream, right?
Yeah.
So I always do the exercise, but roster right on the meat. See, what happened is the fact that they want to grow the meat so fast, and then the hormones and the antibiotics, et cetera, all the medication and the veterinary medicine that they give them, that end up in you.
And what it does, so, does. What it does,
yeah, of course, it's gynomastasia.
And what that is?
That's like a fat tissue growing up, like you see boys with like breasts, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so these refined foods causing plaque of the brains.
Mm-hmm.
And metabolic syndrome. It's a whole host of events that eating the refined foods causes. But Jeff is right. You know, back in the days, you know, it was basically summertime, dilly, ganap, sour sop, hog plum, all of those different plums.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, those were natural food, but what happened is the Rastas warning us was totally correct, but lest we eat up all the flesh of the earth. But even in biblical times, when people consume meat, just remember, still, the meat was
cleansed.
You're not supposed to eat the blood and the fat, and then it was only a certain period of time that you eat meat. You don't eat meat every day.
No, you can't eat it every day. It's a special occasion.
So, lest you eat up all the flesh of the earth.
That's
But back then, the food was more pure.
So it's natural.
Nothing wrong with people eating meat because you got the Hadzabi tribe. People them still eating meat and they don't have these type of health problems.
They eat the natural grasses and natural herbs off the ground, so the goat and the cow, them healthy, you know?
But our body cannabinoid system built of that. But they hide that from they hid this from us. So like he said, the time for the African paradigm to take precedence because
you
have lost any most knowledge of that, especially what we consume.
That's why lifespan short. That's why lifespan so short now, because it would be consuming. That's why someone's only living the 45.
And also even believing that we only were promised 3 scores and then.
I don't believe.
And then even with the hospital, right, Scoozy?
Hey, go ahead.
They can refer you straight to the grave. You know, it's really inglorious, the healthcare system. I can let you go because time's going around.
Okay,
I mean, like you say, I like how you humanize the story.
Yeah.
One day is me, tomorrow is you.
Yeah.
So what's the point? So then they make it look like if someone end up in the hospital, they poor. But then I see all kind of people there. But the people expect, I mean, the government's supposed to really... I mean, one person who I think could do it is Brave, right?
Mm.
But Brave got to do better with dealing with the people. That
because he's losing it right now.
I know. They say someone threatened the prime minister. But, I mean, the people ain't got to threaten him because they could just vote him out if they want to. But if you go in that low, I wonder if that's a false story just to create a buffer with the media. You have to be able to see the psyop sometimes. I don't know. They have to prove it, though. Because, I mean, I really wouldn't think someone's going to
on Monday.
Brave is the people's poison, but I don't think they should go that low. But then they say somebody tried to link another day live on the show, and then link another something like that. You got to look into all of these things. Bless up.
You know, see, in cases, you got to be very careful, you know, who you irate, you know, because some people just come at you, you know, because, you know,
you might have people who don't like what Lincoln said, you know, from a different nationality, you know, how we doing things. Like, he's a police investigator or something. I ain't saying he can't do it. He can do it as a citizen. But you got people out there who saying he bought. He come into people's house and believe he's some kind of police and et cetera. So you have other guys who they're watching it too and hoping up like confrontation, you know, because, you know, you have one set of people, you know, he's fighting for the Bahamas. Then you have, you know, but at the same time, he's fighting for the Bahamas. He's rating some people in a certain different way, you know what I mean? Because some people are saying, you know, well, he can't like this and can't like that. He could do it this way, you know, but Lincoln is his own man. So you got to be careful because you get a lot of dangerous people out there. You know, Lincoln being, you know, shooting a shotgun and talking with the Haitian people. You send a threat to, you send a threat to a lot of people, you know. You don't know who you send a threat to, you know. And then you're saying it's a pastor. And people looking at all these things. I don't have a problem with Lincoln, you know. I feel like you can negotiate better, you know. You can negotiate better. You can't put violence into saying that you are fighting for the people. You know, but you're fighting against the next people, and then you're shooting a gun, and then you're saying words. Listen to the words you say. Haitian people, there are thousands and thousands of Haitian people. You get good people, and you get bad people. And the bad people and some of the good people are looking at that, and they want confrontation. But the prime minister probably stopped the work visa or something to threaten him. You know, because the people saying, you know, you're doing this, the I know. So you got to be careful, you know. You got to be careful, you know. You can negotiate better, you know. Just negotiate better. Don't do acts of violence, you know. Like I said, when Lincoln shoot the gun and he talk with Asian people. Listen, I have my view because I want to protect my country. And I'm going to do it the diplomatic way, and I'm going to do it in a way where I can make a difference. I'm not going to do nothing threatening towards nobody because you don't know who is looking at you for what you did. And many people are saying the same thing. So you don't know who he offend or the prime minister offend, even though he's doing his job, you know. Got to be careful. Do things where you can negotiate and reason better. I can tell you that. Because a guy like me, I ain't supposed to be living. If I could negotiate, I wouldn't be in here. If I could negotiate, I would get a lot of the stuff accomplished with Lennon, Bahamas, the Urban Design Lab, the Overdale Initiative, local government trying to get the implementation of local government, working in the Ministry of National Security, helping build up my community to build up a tourist destination. If I couldn't negotiate, do you think I'd have the connection with the IDB Bank, Central Bank, people in the office of the Prime Minister, ministers, pastors, because I know how to negotiate. You know what all them say about me? They can never believe I was a guy from the streets who do all the stuff that I talk about because I know how to negotiate. They never feel threatened around me. In fact, people don't even know that I live that life because I don't act it. I know how to negotiate and care myself in order to make things happen. So you got to be careful. He intimidated a lot of people. I mean, with Lincoln, I don't know about the prime minister, but he intimidated a lot of people, and you got to be careful. And he's doing a good thing. Like I say, he's fighting, but that's a way how to do it. Be more diplomat, you know? That's all I had to say about it. 7:51, and I want to say to all the callers, you guys did a wonderful job. And it shows you that we have the solutions to our country's problem. We have the better, grow our own food. We spend $1.7 billion bringing in food products that are unchecked. This in turn feeds our kids chips, juices and stuff like that with sweeteners and all the stuff at a young age. Poisons the kid. And the World Health Organization says that whatever the kids consume, if not healthy, changes that directory of how the child grows up in life. Makes them more violent because they're not eating right. And we imported it in the country. And we ain't even seen the problem. That's what hospital beds are full. Because they start off as a kid, and as you grow, you start to develop symptoms. And as you grow, you start to develop, and you end up in a hospital. So the hospital's supposed to be less now if we were doing a proper, healthy eating. You know, you could eat meat. All right? Let me explain something to y'all then. Let me show you. Okay. in Africa, the lion, right? It's not the strongest or the baddest animal in the jungle. All right? The lion is the most intelligent. You know why? The lion, he sees the elephant, right? He sees the buffalo. He sees the giraffe. Now, he kills the hyena because the hyena is a predator like him. The hyena eat meat. Rarely, they eat grasses when they're sick, because when they're sick, they know they eat grass. Okay. The lion does not eat the hyena. You see? He kills the hyena because the hyena is a threat to his food supply. Why he kills the hyena? Like I said, he wants the healthy food. The lion don't eat no hyena. He don't eat no coyote. He don't eat no leopard. You know, any animal that is a predator, the lion does not eat. He bites, he kills, and leave it to rot. You know why? Because if he eat that, he ain't gonna be so strong to take down the prey. So what he does, he knows the hyena eats meat. That is not good for him. He ain't eating that because if he eat that, he could be finished. He ain't got no energy. So what he does, he looks for a gazelle. The gazelle eats seed, eats the grass, eats leaves. All those stuff they eat, the nuts will drop on the ground, is nutrients, just like how we have the soursop, we have the dilly, we have the juju, we have the canep, we have the guava, and combine all together, that gives us all the vitamins we need. Like when you see the capsule, vitamin capsules inside the city market, what we buy, all those things are put in the one and all those fruits and vegetables and the watermelon. So when we consume them at a rate, it keeps us healthy, keeps us from being overweight, you know? And the lion eats the gazelle because he know consuming the gazelle, he consumes nutrients and all the good stuff to make him intelligent, to make him strong, and to make him live until his time come. He eats healthy. The lion ain't no fool. He only eats herbivores, animals that consume grass, seed, leaves, fruits, and nuts, because the elephant is big and doesn't eat meat. Why do you think the elephant is so big? That's because all the vitamins in him and make him big and strong. The buffalo, the giraffe, and stuff. Consuming them, the lion gets his vitamin. You understand? Because he don't eat the grass. When he really eat the grass is when he's sick and he walk around and eat the grass. But if he want to remain healthy, he eat the healthy animals. As simple as that. So our hospital bill is going to continue to fall, because if we don't go back to like the 1960s, 1950s, when we had trade between Haiti, Jamaica, and we learned to produce our food, cabbages, oranges, pears, apples, you know, as part of our diet. Back 40 years ago, I could always remember my grandmother. 30 years ago, she used to put banana, orange, apple, grape, etc. in my food bag. I got my little egg sandwich and my little Capri Sun, next juice. But the majority of my diet was banana, orange. I couldn't go to school unless I had an orange or apple. Today, parents don't do that no more. But they let that you know that if the child wants something sweet, he could eat the apple. And if he wants something sweet, he could eat the grape instead of having the juice. Because a Capri Sun is 10 times more poisonous than the grape. So if the child is thirsty, he could eat an orange or eat a grape. Combined together, his or she appetite would be full because they have this stuff. So I hope everyone is understanding what I'm saying. Okay? 7:50. So I started the show talking about the confrontation with beliefs and what our young people face. And it's also about the food, you know, because I want to say this to the mothers too. Eat healthy and go back to breastfeeding. To me, this generation, the last 30 to 25 years, they don't ask me. And someone asking me, they asking me, why are females stop giving breast milk? There was just shortage of, what you call it? What did I say just now? There was a shortage of baby formula in the United States of America. But why are mothers no longer giving breast milk to their children? They asking me, something ain't right. That messing these children up, you know, the guy, 59, talk about the breasts. The SMA is changing the hormones in the kids in this country. Something ain't right. Y'all listen to me. That SMA needs, these SMA and stuff needs to be checked in this country. Mothers need to go back to breastfeeding. And they have to eat healthy in order to do breastfeeding. That's how serious it is. Okay? Something ain't right, man. The SMA, something ain't right, man. Something ain't right. But again, I'm closing on this. They will say it's your fault, and Dr. Minister say it's his fault. I think the Prime Minister of the country is doing a wonderful job, but he lied on this. You know, both of you four guys' fault. And Minister used to voice, because you was a doctor. And you ain't doing nothing for all them patients who used to voice, you can't even talk. You know, that's why I don't respect people who help the position to do good. Then when they owe the position and trying to get merit, they forget what they were. You were the Prime Minister and you were a doctor. And if you were a doctor, I would say the number one priority when you became Prime Minister was to fix the hospital. That's why a lot of people voted for you, because I even voted because I say, you know what? I say, the condition that the hospital is in, and this man is a doctor and he delivers baby and et cetera, whatever it is he do. I say this man would have a heart and put his resources, that's better than at least 2 more hospitals. Or something. Mommy ain't get crap, nothing. Me ain't get crap, nothing. So you all do back and forth, or 2 of y'all at fault. And Davis has a chance to build a new hospital, to add other development onto the current hospital, which cannot sustain the bombers no more. So I'm advising people eat healthy so that you, because it's going to take a little while, it's going to take at least 15 years to get at least 2 or 3 more hospitals, because we're going to have to keep on pushing. People, you're going to have to keep on pushing. You're going to have to keep on pushing. Push this in the ass. Keep this up. Keep this up. Don't let this lady life go. What her name is again? Yes. Double. Don't let our life go in vain, because one day it's going to be your loved one. How many loved ones have suffered at the hands of Princess Margaret Hospital? How much? But we forget. So let's all just keep this up. Keep this up. Let's keep on talking about the hospital. Because one day, it will be you sitting down there without a bed, looking up in the roof, and you pay all your taxes, and you get treated like shit. Right? And you could die in pain. And the worst place to be in the world is in the hospital. You hear that? It's the worst place to be. The hospital and prison. They're the worst place to be. No one wants to be in the hospital. Everyone wants to go home and they go in the hospital. So I'd say to my Prime Minister, sir, focus, sir. You're kind of losing it. Focus. Focus. Because like I said this, and I'm going to close on this, the PLP did not win the election. I said it with Menace. They say Menace won the election because you could have put a dog or cow on the lamppost when he was running against Perry Glasson Christie. But people were irate with Mr. Christie because of the things he said. When he stick up his middle finger and you got to come back to me as God and we as one and all that stuff, what his other ministers say. And as the opposition, which was human ministers, that's how we won the general election, because people was upset. 10 ministers come there and he losing a landslide to Brave Davis. And the only reason the PLP government won that election because people were fed up with Menace
because he was Hitler. You know, he's menace of settler reincarnation. Because he said our constitution rights would be violated. You know, and sometimes you have to do that. Now we get you. So don't think for a minute. The people down with you. Yeah, the people who support you, they down with you. But the majority of people out there, so they switch on you like a can of soup. You get this last year, this your year to make some things happen in this country. Next year, so you don't want to be in here. I can tell you now. You have 2 years to do good things in government. 2 years to do some things. After the third year, people lose hope on you. And they want to go focus on Michael Pintard, but you're doing a wonderful job. You're doing a wonderful job in Kiara Island. Jesse Cooper's doing a wonderful job. Government is starting. They're doing some good stuff, but they're starting to square off. I advise you, listen. I've said it here on the show. All right? Work on the hospital. Crime, immigration, empowerment, and you'll be all right. So, I'm Wellington O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside Inner City. My producer tonight is Kremi, two-time champ, One Family Group. We'll see you next week on Garden Radio 96.9 FM. Enjoy your night, people. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass for a season.